Mark chapter 6. Well, let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at your word, do ask in Jesus' name that you'll take and speak to our hearts from it. Help us to retain it, remember it, bring it to use for your honor and glory. And so we commit unto you the next few minutes we have together here. Please, Lord, would you really take your word and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, the Lord Jesus, we're going to be reading a few verses in Mark chapter 6. The Lord Jesus is in his own country, the city of Nazareth. And he goes to the synagogue and begins to teach. The people are astounded at his wisdom and his mighty works, but they are offended. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1, 2, and 3. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" Verse 3, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judah, and Simeon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. Now, before we get into the message, I want to say this. In verse 3, it talks about and expresses the brother of James, talking about the carpenter, by the way, is the title of the message this morning, the carpenter. And it says, the son of Mary, that's talking about the Lord Jesus. And then it says, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simeon, and are not his sisters here with us? Now, these were not Mary's children. A good study of the scriptures plainly tells us that they were brethren. They were disciples. James and Joseph were brothers, the Bible tells us. And, of course, they were the sons of Mary and the sons of Alphaeus in the scripture. It doesn't tell us to reveal that here, but I just wanted to let you know. And when it says of his sisters, the Bible doesn't give us any indication of what, but it does tell us in the fourth verse they were kin. And kin just means relatives. Now, having said that, I want us to think about the carpenter, Jesus. Yes, carpenters, well, it's an artificer. It's someone who's skilled in the ways of making things, a craftsman. And so the carpenter, he built the world. Oh, listen, John chapter 1, if you have a Bible, turn there. And in verse 14, John chapter 1, "And the Word, speaking of the Lord Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Look at John 1 and verse 1, 2, and 3. "In the beginning was the Word," speaking of Christ, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Verse 3, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Colossians chapter 1 there expresses the same thing. Colossians and chapter 1. And let me read down in verse 15 and 16. Colossians 1, 15, speaking of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That is, Christ existed before anything else. And verse 16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him. Yes, the Lord Jesus built this world. Revelation chapter 4, you're there close, and verse 1. Revelation 4 and verse 11, rather. Revelation 4 and verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Yes, the carpenter, he built this world. Now he's also building a heavenly city, the celestial city. In John chapter 14, we read this, and you're familiar with that. John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Then Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? John 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But he plainly told us here, in my Father's house are many mansions. Hebrews chapter 11 makes a reference to, yes, a heavenly city. Hebrews chapter 11, and down there in verse 10, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10, is talking about Abraham, and he says, Abraham, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was looking forward to heavenly home, heavenly city. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, and it's talking about people who know the Lord, saved people. Hebrews 13 and down in verse 14, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Amen. We're looking forward to heavenly city. And by the way, look at Revelation 21, and we'll see how the Lord Jesus, that carpenter, yay, as they called him, is building a heavenly city. Revelation 20 and verse 14. Well, let's see here. No, that's not what I want. Revelation 21, please. Revelation 21 and verse 10. Yes. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Verse 11. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Drop down to verse 18, talking of this heavenly city. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysophorus, the 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. Verse 21 of Revelation 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Oh, listen. What a city. Verse 27 of Revelation 21 says this: And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abominations or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now this is talking about New Jerusalem, let down from God out of heaven, a city. Yes, the Lord Jesus is preparing that city. By the way, scriptures tell us it's approximately 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep, and 1,500 miles high. My, what a carpenter. Hey, building that heavenly city. And by the way, how terrible it is that no one that knows not Christ will enter in there. For the scriptures tell us in Revelation 20 and verse 14 and 15, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is a second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So in order to enter into that heavenly city that the Lord Jesus, that one they called the carpenter, not knowing, having no idea what they were really saying, just because his Mary's husband Joseph was the real carpenter, but on earth, that is. But yes, that heavenly city, not only he built the world, created everything, he's building that celestial city, but he's building his church. Matthew chapter 16, over there, we read this in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Matthew 16 and verse 18, he's building his church. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, talking to Peter and his disciples. And upon this rock, speaking of himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yes, our Lord is building his church upon himself, not upon Peter, okay? Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 says, And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Yes, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9 tells us this concerning, that the Lord is building himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Notice, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. He's building his church, the body of Christ. It's the Lord that adds to the church. Amen? Yes, ye are God's building. Colossians 1 and verse 18 tells us he is the head of the body, the church. The Lord Jesus not only building his church, he's in charge of it. And how we would do well to just listen to our wonderful Lord and Savior. He built this old world, created it. He spoke, and the world came into existence. And he's building that heavenly city, which you and I ought to be looking forward to. Amen? Amen. Ought to be looking forward to that heavenly home. He's building his church. How does he build it? By you and I being faithful, sharing with someone the importance of knowing they're saved. You could ask your neighbor, your children, your grandchildren, in-laws, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? They might, well, I hope so. Yes, no, you could say, let me share with you how from God's holy word how you could be certain of heaven. Amen? How you could be saved. And share with them how they could have that assurance of salvation. Now, another thing our Lord is building, he's building lives. The Christian's life. Philippians 1:6 tells us, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Ever been saved? God's going to keep working in your life, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Once saved, yes, he's going to keep working in that person's life. 1 Peter chapter 2 expresses it this way. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. 1 Peter 2 and verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, that is, you've been saved, have that assurance of salvation. Verse 4 of 1 Peter 2, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, that living stone speaking of Christ, they didn't take to him when he was on earth for the most part, but chosen of God and precious. Oh, how precious the Lord ought to be to you and me. Verse 5, ye also, talking to Christians, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You are alive in Christ, living stones after Christ, because of Christ, and build up a spiritual house. Yes, you and I, God's building. He's building lives. To offer up spiritual sacrifices. We're a, Bible says, an holy priesthood. That is, we no longer, as in days of the Old Testament, have to go to a priest and ask him to pray for us. You and I are a holy priesthood. We can go to God in prayer. Amen. The scripture's so explicit, and whatever ye ask according to my will, if I hear you, you know that you have the petitions that you desired of me. We're a holy priesthood. You can go to, as a Christian, you can go to God and talk to him about anything and ask him to hear and answer your prayer. Now, if God sees fit to not answer your prayers, you and I think he ought or would like, well, that's his business, amen? He knows best for you and me. But, oh, dear friend, the scriptures are so explicit, he is building lives. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, and some of you are very familiar with this. Ephesians 2, and verse 8, 9, and 10, we read this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. A person gets saved just purely by God's grace, his kindness, and the fact that Christ paid for your sins and mine when he died on that cross. Verse 9 of Ephesians 2, though, not of works, lest any man should boast. You stand firm on that. Just tell religious people, not by works, okay? Can't work your way there. You're going to have to put your faith and trust in the Christ who died and was buried and rose again. Oh, how vital it is that Christ, we believe in, rose again. Amen. But look at verse 9 of Ephesians chapter 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Yes, he's building lives. We're his workmanship. That carpenter, that one who's skilled, yay, talking about the Lord Jesus, we're his workmanship. He's building, working in your life and mine that know Christ as Savior. And oh, listen, let him work. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18, we're to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord. To him be glory now, both now and forever. We ought to be able to bring glory to the Lord Jesus now while we're here on earth. And of course, in heaven, we certainly will. Yes, he built this world, created everything. He's building a heavenly city. He's building his church. Church, expressed in the Sunday school hour, someone who is saved and has been willing to come and confess Christ publicly. How? By believer's baptism. Baptism doesn't save, but when a person gets saved, they ought to be willing to come, let the preacher baptize them, saying as they go under the water, I believe Jesus died for me and was buried. Amen. And as he comes up out of the water, the person, we're saying Jesus rose from the dead. And the people in the audience see that testimony that they believe Jesus died for them and was buried and rose again from the dead. Yea, God sees it. Oh, listen, dear friend. He's building his church. He's building lives. Now, let me say this. Therefore, let's make our life count. Let's make our life count. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let's make our lives count. And by the way, life is not measured by longevity, but by quality. How you and I live our lives. We may not live to be 100. By the way, I don't care to live to be 100. You may. I don't. 86 years ago, I was in Monticello, Utah. Mormon country. And my dad picked up the family and moved to Durango, Colorado to get out of that Mormon influence and Mormon country. But listen, lives are not measured by longevity. John the Baptist, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11, our Lord himself said concerning John the Baptist, there's not risen a greater than John the Baptist. By that, I would be assured that he's saying John was a forerunner of Christ, and he's therefore the greater one, the greatest one among men on earth. Yes, he went ahead of Christ and told people they needed to repent and believe. Amen? Not to be saved, but to receive the Messiah that was among them. And oh, listen, and by the way, John died when he was 30 years old, in his 30s. So life is not measured by longevity, but by quality. Our Lord and Savior died, we believe, right at 33 years of age. And the Word of God tells us so plainly that if the things that Christ had done were put into a book, not even possibly the whole world could contain what would be written about him. John chapter 21, verse 25 tells us that. But Christ died fairly young. And so once again, emphasizing life is not measured by longevity, but by quality. Oh, how we live our lives. You younger set out there, live for Jesus. Make your life count. You never know what tomorrow might bring. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25 over there. Hebrews chapter 11. And down around verse 25. Well, in verse 24, we read concerning Moses. Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Notice that in verse 25 of Hebrews 11. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Yes, Moses made a wise choice. Amen. It's up to you and me. We can choose to live for Jesus or not. We can choose to become a church member and serve Christ. Yes, Genesis 6 and verse 3 gives us a caution. My spirit shall not always strive with man. God, the Holy Spirit, may not always tug at your heart and mine to live for him and to rise up and do right. And so, such wonderful things, just thinking about, is not this the carpenter? Yes, just something they had tagged the Lord Jesus Christ with. You know, when I was in grade school, they called me Bish, probably short for Bishop. I attended the First Baptist Church in Durango and invited friends to church. When I was in junior high, they called me Blockhead. When in high school, they called me Stanley Steamer. My middle name is Stanley. And, listen, dear friend. I'm glad to have had training as a youngster in a good Baptist church. And make your life count. I'm asking you this morning as just a friend, make your life count for our wonderful Lord and Savior. And by the way, you can. May cost you something. Many years ago at Good News Baptist Church in Albuquerque, as I pastored, a fella came and asked for some help. And I told him, well, if you'll do some yard work, I'll be of help to you. Put him in the backyard of the church, cutting weeds and so forth. And one day he asked me, after we had talked about the things of the Lord and so forth, he said, if a person's done wrong, something wrong, what should they do about it? I said, you need to make it right. You know what he did? Julian Imperial laid down the tools, took some transportation of some sort to California, turned himself into the police, and told him he had murdered a woman. Julian Imperial. But you know what? He began to make his life count, knowing Christ as Savior. I've sent many a tract to him there in Folsom Prison. Any one of you been in Folsom Prison? And listen, dear friend, there I had Good News Baptist Church, had a missionary in Folsom Prison passing out tracts and witnessing to people, making his life count. And by the way, a few years ago, he was released from prison. And dear friend, there is a wonderful God in heaven, not only forgives sin, but he wants to build your life and mine and use us, make something out of us. And by the way, eternity is a long time to think about what went wrong in your life and mine. Let's let this carpenter, yea, the Lord Jesus, our wonderful Savior, let's let him do something in our lives. There's no doubt about it, he has created this old world. I could say much about that and all the nonsense that's going on around the world nowadays, but no doubt about it, he's building that heavenly city. We just read a little bit about it. He's building his church. That's very evident all through the land and the world. But he wants to build, make something out of your life and mine. Let's do this. Let's bow our heads, please. In closing, how many here this morning, in closing, might just say by an uplifted hand, we might in a moment ask God to have his will in our lives, might just say by an uplifted hand, God has spoken to my heart about a matter today, and I want God's will done. You just slip your hand up and put it down. Yes, we see those hands. Are there others? Might just say, God spoke to my heart about a matter. Just slip your hand up, put it down. We might ask the Lord to help us. Yes, God bless you. It's always in order in every service to ask. If you're here today and you're not certain if you died today whether you'd go to heaven or not, would you just slip your hand up and then put it back down? We might ask God's will to be done in that matter. You're not certain if you died today whether you'd go to heaven or not, just put your hand up. Oh, listen, God's word says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. We'll be saved. And all you have to do, even now, this moment, is just privately in your heart cry out and say, Dear Lord, I am a sinner and I need to be saved. Lord Jesus, I believe you did die on the cross, shed your blood for me, but you rose again from the dead, and I'm asking you to come into my heart and save me right now. And dear Heavenly Father, for those that have raised a hand and said that you've spoken to our hearts today, would you bless and meet every burden and concern those individuals would have? For these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.